The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies magazines. Let's begin with this one from Good Housekeeping, The Seal Spotlight Bathroom Upgrades. Give your daily routine a dose of luxury with these game changers, all tested and approved by the Good Housekeeping Lab experts. First, Pore Purifying Mask. Pamper your pores with Mary Kay's Clear Proof Deep Cleansing Charcoal Mask, a Good Housekeeping Beauty Award winner. Its activated charcoal and mineral clays absorb oil, and honeysuckle botanical extracts help even out skin tone over time. This powerful formula stands out for its ability to leave skin deeply cleansed and refreshed without overdrying, per our beauty lab experts. The lab results, during consumer tests, panelists confirmed that the clay mask left both dramatically clarified skin and deeply cleansed pores. Those with oily and combination skin types can rejoice in the fact that the formula reduced sebum by 89% and visual shine by 84% in under 15 minutes, as a clinical study showed. It's Mary Kay Clear Proof Deep Cleansing Charcoal Mask, $24, from your Mary Kay representative or on marykay.com, M-A-R-Y-K-A-Y. And plush and cozy towels. Your bathroom haven just got cozier thanks to Home Depot's Style Well towel set. Made from 100% cotton, these towels are luxuriously fluffy and retain their softness after each wash. Plus, with their medium weight and hollow core loop design, they offer good absorbency without feeling too heavy. The six-piece set includes two bath, two hand towels, and two washcloths, but you can opt for a 12 or an 18-piece set. The lab results? With high absorbency scores in our test, these towels showed Good Housekeeping fiber scientists with their ability wowed fiber scientists with their ability to soak up liquid easily. Their color and shape held up well even after repeated laundering. Also, our textiles lab experts verified the Made in Green by Ocotex certification, which confirms they were made in a socially and environmentally responsible facility. It's the Style Well 6-piece hydro cotton towel set, $35, at homedepot.com. That's HOMEDEPOT.com. And from Real Simple, 5 Perspectives Power Dressing. The daily act of picking an outfit is unique as it is common. Whatever your taste, find inspiration from these style setters. 1. Embrace your inner cartoon character. When I became an educator, I was inspired by the eccentric Ms. Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, who often wears fun, themed attire to engage her students on another level. I now have accessories for every holiday. My students love my bold, unique outfits and glasses, and especially my pom-pom earrings, which I own in every color. When our school pivoted to online classes, my accessories became even more important since they helped me keep the kids' attention. They always remark, "I can't wait to see what you'll wear tomorrow." And that was Kiana Funder Burke, a fourth grade teacher in Atlanta. 2, swap and shop mom's closet. Growing up, I was inspired by photos of my mom in her 20s. She wore classically feminine pieces like pleated skirts, structured blazers, and on special occasions, the traditional Chinese kuipao dress. Fortunately for me, she is frugal and keeps absolutely everything, so I get to wear her now vintage clothes. She has lost some weight and loves to wear my old clothes. When I visit her, she's often sporting the denim jackets, sweaters, and jeans I wore back in high school. And this was Mary Gui, founder and CEO of Sock Candy. 3, opt for comfort over trends. After my gender-affirming surgery, I wanted to show off my new body. Tight clothes, miniskirts, crop tops, heels. That tendency waned, and these days I mostly wear sneakers with dresses, athleisure, or jeans with bold, colorful tops. I don't worry about keeping up with trends. It's more exciting to wear things that are slightly daring and comfortable, whether or not they're in style. I spent so long hiding my physique, and it was painful trying to fit in. Now it feels great to be able to wear what makes me feel true to myself. And this was Corey Ray, a transgender activist, model, and storyteller. 4. Find something that works, then buy two. As a kid, I wore school uniforms, so I never had to decide what to wear. This practical approach to dressing has followed me into adulthood. In the summer, I typically wear a solid V-neck t-shirt with khakis. I remember my mother buying her favorite sandals in every color. Similarly, if I like something, I'll buy it in multiples. My style is all about what I'm comfortable in. While most of my clothes are no-nonsense, every undergarment I own is leopard print. And this, Louise Marburg, the author of 2 books, including No Diving Allowed. I will spell her last name, Marburg. And last, invest in the best you can afford. I don't consider myself to have a signature style, but other people do. They're often surprised to learn that I don't limit myself to boots and jackets. Luckily, I can afford better clothes than I could in the 1970s. Now I have my jackets custom made. Some of my shirts are more than 30 years old. I buy the best clothes I can afford, and I take very good care of them, something I learned from my father. He even put wooden shoe trees in his leather slippers. My cowboy boots were an accident. Around 35 years ago, I developed a heel spur. Not only did boots help the pain, I was suddenly 2 inches taller. And this is Fran Lebowitz, a writer and social commentator. From Woman's Day, From the Heart with Candace Cameron Bure. In this month's column, I celebrate the life of the beloved Bob Saget and share the words that helped me cope with loss. In January, I said goodbye to my good friend Bob Saget. I say friend, but he was family. Not TV, dad family, but real family. I did not want to say goodbye. It was too soon. 35 years of friendship wasn't enough. I wanted one more hug and one more laugh. He taught me so much, but his greatest lesson was this. Never leave someone wondering about your love. Bob ended every single conversation, email, and text message with, "I love you." His hugs were warm, tender, and all-engulfing. If hugging were an Olympic sport, Bob would have been a gold medalist. Grief is unique. If you are the one grieving, your world stops, but the world around you doesn't. Vacations, work, and dinner parties happen. Yet for the grieving, the days drag and fly by at the same time, and the tears come at the oddest times and out of nowhere. I'm sipping hot tea and suddenly I'm sobbing. Through all the tears, I remind myself of this truth: God is present. And then she quotes a Bible verse: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." And that's Psalm 34, verse 18. Watching someone grieve is difficult, too. I've learned that you don't have to do or say much, just be there. It's called the ministry of presence. Quietly sit. Your presence can be in a short text, "I love you," or "I'm praying." Your presence can be a card. Maybe send a card every month for a year. Don't worry that you will remind the griever of their loss. They have not forgotten, and to know that others haven't either can be comforting. In honor of Bob, tell the ones you love that you love them. Tell them and tell them again. Give them big hugs that are tender and all-engulfing. Be that person. I'm so glad Bob was that person to me and to everyone else he knew. From Good Housekeeping, "Got climate anxiety? There's an antidote for that." Read on for how to turn fear and paralysis into motivation that'll help your mental health and the planet. While the increase in climate-related catastrophes and calls for action will hopefully galvanize communities and countries to mitigate climate change, it may make your anxiety worse, especially if you are directly affected. After Hurricane Harvey hit Houston in 2017, researchers estimated that nearly half the city's population had symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, an extreme form of anxiety. Being impacted more than once can push you even further. If you experience 2 100-year floods in a few years, your capacity to cope is going to be depleted, says Christy Manning, Ph.D., Director of Sustainability at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. The worry alone is a big stressor, especially for women and marginalized people. Women are often responsible for helping elderly and children through a weather event, and research shows that people of color are more likely to be impacted. Decades of discrimination by banks and governments pushed poorer communities into lower altitude areas with fewer parks and trees, or close to highways and airports, making them more vulnerable to flooding, pollution, and heat. Fortunately, there are ways to get a handle on it. The antidote to climate anxiety is action, and we can't solve the problem alone, says Catherine Hayhoe, Ph.D., chief scientist for the nonprofit The Nature Conservancy, and author of Saving Us. Her last name, Hayhoe. So step one, understanding where we are. Scientists have long understood how the climate crisis caused by all the greenhouse gases we've pumped into the atmosphere since the 19th century affects us physically. Rising temperatures result in dehydration, heat stroke, and heart disease, as well as causing warm weather conditions like Lyme disease and allergies to linger. Extreme weather events, such as the California wildfires and floods in the Midwest, put people at risk of injury, but they also can hamper access to medical care. But the notion that climate change affects our psyches is a more recent one. Even 10 years ago, the idea that climate change has mental health impacts was something most people didn't think about, including me, says Susan Clayton, Ph.D., a professor of psychology at the College of Worcester in Ohio and co-author of a 2021 report by the American Psychological Association and the nonprofit EcoAmerica. These effects include stress, anxiety, depression, and PTSD, among others. Research is ongoing, but it's clear that our angst is rising, says Clayton. More than 3/4 of Americans understand that the planet is warming, according to the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, with a majority believing it will harm their own communities. This may be why 70% of us, at least, somewhat worried, with 35% very worried. Google searches for terms like climate anxiety and eco-anxiety have skyrocketed in recent years, found a study by Kelton Miner at the University of Copenhagen. Parents are especially uneasy. I hear from people a lot that they're worried about the world they're leaving their children, Clayton says. In a large international study Clayton co-authored in 2021, 45% of teens and young adults said their climate stress affected their daily lives. After we see a climate disaster on the news, my 8-year-old son peppers me with questions on what we will do if it happens here. I can see the anxiety on his face, says Ricky Weisberg, a 42-year-old public relations executive in Ardmore, PA. Compounding her own worry is that she can't honestly say that it won't. Tornadoes in her area were previously rare, but several struck a nearby city last year. Anxiety involves feeling tense and fearful when we ponder something that might happen in the future. Often the negative outcome is unlikely and the fear overblown. But climate anxiety is unique in that there's good evidence that what we are worried about may well come to pass. Climate anxiety is not a mental illness because it's irrational to be concerned, Clayton says. What that means is that the things you might normally do to calm your fears, talking to a friend or a therapist, are not enough. Climate shifts are here to stay, even if countries around the world take steps to curtail them. Anxiety is a sensible response to what we're facing, but we must address it through action, says Hayhoe. For some, climate anxiety is a good thing, calling attention to a problem they need to prepare for, psychologists say. But many of us feel paralyzed, not motivated, says Renee Lertzman, Ph.D., a consultant whose TED Talk has been viewed over 2 million times. That's Lertzman, L-E-R-T-Z-M-A-N. There's a myth that people don't care about the climate, but many feel conflicted about how to respond, so they numb out, she says. Let's say you understand that flying, driving, and eating meat contribute, but you like having those things in your life. This may cause you to freeze instead of taking individual action, she says. And because we need widespread changes to systems, the kind that must involve all of society, governments, and corporations, it's easy to feel helpless, says Manning. Not many of us feel like we have the training, skills, influence, or time to know how to get elected officials and corporations to listen and make changes, she adds. So what helps? Building a sense of optimism. When 5,000 people were asked how they felt when they thought about taking a climate action, people who felt most hopeful were more likely to want to act, while anxious but unhopeful people were not as motivated, a study published in August in the Journal of Environmental Psychology found. So, 7 ways to feel more in control. List what you love about your life. This meaning-focused coping helps to calm your brain and allows useful ideas to come to you, says Christy Manning, Ph.D., Director of Sustainability at McAllester College in St. Paul, Minnesota. Think about what you appreciate in your career, in your family, or in the natural world around you. Look at history. Women's suffrage, gay marriage, an end to apartheid in South Africa. Those didn't happen because an influential person decided it was time, but because ordinary people like us decided the world had to be different, and they used their voices to start the change, says Catherine Hayhoe. We often picture climate action as a giant boulder at the bottom of a hill, with a few hands on it. But when we look at what so many people and groups are doing, we realize the boulder is at the top and rolling down, and it has millions of hands on it that we can join, she says. Find your people. If you have deep concerns about the climate, it's really important that you have people who take those concerns seriously and don't gaslight you, Manning says. Plus, joining forces amplifies solutions. There are national organizations like the Sierra Club and niche groups like the nonpartisan Protect Our Winters for those who enjoy snow sports. Groups in your own community can work on local solutions. More green spaces to help with cooling, say, or bike lanes to reduce driving. Besides, being part of a group is itself a stress reducer. Know that you don't have to be perfect. Every step you take, using a colder wash cycle, driving an electric car, they have merit. Last fall, Katie Romita started onesmallstone.net, which offers online meditations to others seeking to calm their climate anxiety. Ease your kids' angst. Involve your children in climate solutions in a fun way, such as volunteering to plant trees or joining the NASA-sponsored GLOBE program, in which parents and kids collect information about trees and clouds to support our understanding of the environment, suggests Sandy Schwartz, author of Finding Eco-Happiness. So it's S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. Actions like these help children feel empowered. Don't argue with deniers. Only 7% believe strongly that global warming is not happening. If that's your family member, say, "I love you, but you're wrong," and move on. Don't try to have a productive conversation or tell them they should care for the same reasons you care, Hayhoe says. Get help if you need to. Find support online at climatecafes.org or Good Grief Network, goodgriefnetwork.org. And remind yourself that your community can bounce back from climate change. Resilience is the ability to function and thrive in the face of negative events. And humans have this resource in spades, Clayton says. As we tackle climate change, that's something to feel good about. From Martha Stewart Living, a couple of carrot dishes. Get you some of those antioxidants we talked about last week. So first up, we've got carrot paloma. And there's an aside, if you don't have a juicer, you can make this carrot juice in a high-speed blender. Blend 12 ounces chopped peeled carrots and a half cup water until completely smooth, then strain, pressing lightly on solids to extract as much juice as possible. Refrigerate covered up to 3 days. So for the recipe, 1 ounce fresh lime juice plus wedges for the rim and serving, coarsely ground sea salt for the rim, 2 ounces fresh carrot juice from 2 to 3 carrots, that's why we had the directions in the beginning, 2 ounces fresh grapefruit juice, preferably Ora Blanco or a sweeter variety from 2 grapefruits, 2 ounces Blanco tequila, and agave nectar, optional. This is a 5-minute deal, makes one. Run a lime wedge around the rim of a rocks glass, coat the rim in salt. Place carrot, grapefruit, and lime juices and tequila in a cocktail shaker. Taste. Add a squeeze of agave if desired. Fill halfway with ice and shake until the outside of the shaker is frosty, about 10 seconds. Fill prepared glass with ice, strain the cocktail into the glass, and garnish with lime. Serve immediately. Then, glazed carrots with saffron and lime. It says if using purple carrots, blanch them separately to keep the color from bleeding into lighter colored ones. So we need a 1/4 teaspoon saffron threads, 2 tablespoons plus a pinch of sugar, 2 tablespoons boiling water, kosher salt, 2 bunches small carrots peeled, about 12 ounces, 2 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1 1/2 teaspoons grated lime zest, plus 2 tablespoons fresh juice, extra virgin olive oil or ouve-ivu for drizzling. Crush saffron in a pinch of sugar with a mortar and pestle or your fingertips until broken up. Place in a small bowl with boiling water. Let bloom about 5 minutes. Fill a large skillet about halfway with water. Bring to a boil over medium heat. Season generously with salt. Add carrots in a single layer. Cover and cook until crisp tender, about 5 minutes. Drain. Transfer carrots to a plate. Return skillet to medium heat and add butter. When foam subsides, return carrots to the skillet with remaining 2 tablespoons sugar, saffron water, lime juice, and a large pinch of salt. Cook, shaking pan occasionally, until sauce thickens slightly and coats carrots 2 to 3 minutes. Remove from heat. Add lime zest and a drizzle of oil. Season to taste. Serve warm or at room temperature. And this serves 2 to 3. Active time was 15 minutes and total time 20. And a salad type thing, carrot, avocado, and feta with spring greens. Active and total time are both 15 minutes, and this makes 4 servings. It says if you don't have avocado or sunflower oil, substitute 1 tablespoon each of extra virgin olive oil and vegetable oil for the dressing. So we need 1 tablespoon sherry vinegar, 2 tablespoons avocado or sunflower oil, or half and half, you know, with the evu and vegetable oil, as we just heard, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. One recipe, oh gosh, it's a recipe of some other recipe that I don't have with me, so I'm going to stop on this one right now. I'm sorry. From Woman's Day. Spring pesto penne. This active time, 20 minutes, total 25, and it serves 6. We need 1 pound penne pasta, 1 bunch asparagus trimmed and cut into 1-inch pieces, 2 cups frozen peas, 1 cup packed flat leaf parsley, 1/2 cup packed fresh mint leaves, 1/3 cup of walnuts, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 2 cloves garlic smashed, kosher salt and pepper, 1/3 cup of olive oil, 1/3 cup ricotta cheese. Cook pasta per package directions, adding asparagus 4 minutes before the penne is done, then adding frozen peas 2 minutes later. Meanwhile, make the pesto. In a food processor, pulse the parsley, mint, walnuts, lemon juice, garlic, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper until almost smooth. With the motor running, slowly add the oil, then a quarter cup water, and process until smooth. Toss pasta and vegetables with pesto and a quarter teaspoon salt, and top with ricotta cheese. It does look delightful. From Martha Stewart Living, a fruit salad with cinnamon honey yogurt. Berries and bananas are full of prebiotic fiber, which feeds the probiotics in yogurt. So in a bowl, active in total time 5 minutes, and it serves two. In a bowl, whisk together a quarter cup plain yogurt, 1 teaspoon honey, a quarter teaspoon ground cinnamon, and a pinch of kosher salt. Toss with 1 cup halved strawberries, 1/2 cup blueberries, and 1 sliced banana. Serve sprinkled with more cinnamon. And from Martha Stewart Living, from the Ask Martha column, how can I keep my kitchen sponges clean and pleasant smelling? Sponges are more sustainable than paper towels, but moist ones are breeding grounds for germs. To keep them at bay, use all-natural sea sponges, which have inherent antibacterial properties, and disinfect them at least every few days. Jessica Eck, a director at the American Cleaning Institute, suggests soaking them for 5 minutes in a solution of 1 quart water and 3 tablespoons chlorine bleach, then rinsing and letting them air dry. The ACI does not recommend using the microwave to disinfect sponges. Dry ones can catch fire, plus variables like wattage and sponge size make it hard to gauge how long you need to zap them. Between washes, rinse your sponges out after each use, then wring them out well and store them somewhere they can dry, not in the sink itself. Leaving them there to stay constantly wet will encourage bacteria to grow, says Eck. Finally, replace them every few weeks or sooner if they start to smell. From Real Simple, 4 ways to dress up a powder room. First, find a fragrance. Even unlit candles can smell heavenly thanks to what's known as cold throw. We like the Cinder Rose candle, $32, at boysmells.com. That's boysmells.com. Hang some art. The powder room can be a low-risk place to experiment with a gallery wall. Try the Fiskbow frames from $1.50 at IKEA. Clear the floor. Toss old magazines and catalogs. No one likes a doctor's office vibe. And try a hybrid toilet paper holder and magazine rack. And last, decant your soap. Pour hand soaps and sanitizer into matching dispensers for a more uniform look. One they like, kind of pricey, Calo Soap Pump Set, $50 at westelm.com. And it's spelled Kaloh, Soap Pump Set. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For comments and questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening.